We will continue fellowship later.
Rick is smiling.
They say fellowship can be contagious. Last week was an awesome campus Sunday. Let's give a special hand to all the campus students. It was incredible. But there's one campus student who's very excited, all the way from Long Beach, California.
LA.
And I'm super excited about Anthony and how much Anthony has changed and grown, invited by Maddie. And Anthony's been going to Kalamazoo College. I won't go a lot of details I'll be sharing later on. But I'm just so proud of your decision to learn the Bible, to come out of church, study the Bible, embrace it. You know, he takes his own notes, but when he's really listening to me and Chris, he stops writing. So that's when I take over and I write notes for him. But it's all the pages he gives, he likes homework. He said, give me the scriptures to read. And I really appreciate your eagerness of that. I'm so excited today. You're going to be baptized and it's going to be exciting. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. So that'll be the first baptism from Kalamazoo College. So that is exciting. Soon we'll start Bible talks next month. So that's great. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll talk about agape love. Father, we are so humbled and blessed to be here. On a rainy day, thank you for people from Orlando and all around Michigan to come and worship with us today. Father, we give you glory in everything what we do. Lord, we want to be like you. We want to imitate you. Father, open our heart and our mind to become powerful, awesome, humble disciples for you so we can impact this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to John 13. We're going to be there for the whole time. I'm going to be sharing for 20, 25 minutes. Then we have Steve come and share his story. And then we'll close it up and we'll take the communion together. John 13. It was time. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time has come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Can you relate with that? It's hard. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. Isn't that amazing? He knew he's from God and he knows time is short and I got to go back and be with my dad. That's just powerful. It's just powerful scripture right there. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash me? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing. You know, sometimes that's why God thinks about us, you and me. That disciple down there on the earth don't understand what I'm trying to help him. But God still works with you. That's what I love about God. He doesn't give up. But later you will understand. No. See, he didn't get that one. No, said Peter. Reaction. You shall never wash my feet. He answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Okay, then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands, my head. He wanted a whole bath now. Again, he's reacting. He answered a person. You notice Jesus never reacts to his. He just very, very calm, cool, collective, trying to steer him back to God. He's had a bath, needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean. Though not every one of you, but you knew what was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he had put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is where I am, what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I set an example that you should do all as I've done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Agape love is what I want to talk about today. Agape love. What's agape? It's a special kind of love from God. God's love. Not man's love. God's love for his people, for his children. Thomas Aquinas says, to will the good of another. That's God's heart. It's unconditional. It is not a fuzzy feeling, as the next slide shows. What is a fuzzy feeling? Cool, smooth. I'm going to look at a Google right here, the fuzzy feeling. Like meeting someone that really makes me happy, makes you happy, purely happy. That fuzzy warmth can be your overwhelming happiness or your inner realization that you actually needed someone to share your things with. Feelings, problems, secrets, or other positive feelings. It is actually someone loving you. Agape, right? You know, we love to be loved, right? Will all everybody agree? We want like a hug, we want a handshake. Hey bro, good to see you. We love the text, like brother, we missed you, we prayed for you. We love that, right? We want to receive it, but what about us paying it forward? And that's what I want to talk about today for the church. This coming month in October, I'm going to make it Agape Month. A month of just loving other people, not looking for love, but looking to love somebody else. Amen to that. Here in his power, he can do whatever. He stooped down. I, the Lord, the teacher, he's willing to come down to your level, to bow down, to touch another man's feet. Have you touched another man's feet in your lifetime? That's pretty humbling, right? He did it 12 times. He did it to people who are stubborn and emotional and unreliable, and even washed Judas. We all know that. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. I really believe that is the most humbling experience. People are not happy with you. You have people like that in your life? People are not happy with you. They don't like to talk to you. They can't stand you. How do you feel about that? You know, what I love about Christ is that he never showed a different kind of love. He was so consistent to all the 12. But Satan is right there. Satan is right there, knocking at his heart. The Bible says he prompted. All right, come on. Prompted. And eventually, Satan entered him. Did you know that you can do good and Satan is right there? can have a meal and he's right there in the meal. He's there. He's watching. But he doesn't enter everybody. He only enters those who have a sinful desire, a heart where the sinful nature acts up. In Romans 8, if you don't have time, but in Romans 8, I'm just going to quick read if you want to keep a note of that. From 5 to 5 down. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You know, when the sinful desire acts up, there's no peace, there's no life. The sinful mind is hostile to God, and that's what Christ understood in his spirit. His spirit was troubled because what Satan was up to. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And that's what happened to Judas. He couldn't please God right then. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to Christ. I think it's one of the most convicting scriptures that Paul talks about in Romans. So I got a question for you. Has Satan entered your heart? Do you know if he entered your heart? You know, when you have another agenda, he will enter your heart. If you're not loyal to God, he will enter your heart. If you have a backdoor plan, not wanting to love God, he's going to enter your heart. So we got a God of heart, and that's why I'm calling the church of the brothers. We need to be in small groups. We need to be in a family group. We need to be in triads. We got to be able to talk about our heart. It was so cool at Mingtan last Wednesday. We sat down and we just talked about how the 12 spies were sent out. And out of 10 were all positive. Sorry, 10 was all negative. And the two, Caleb and Josh, was all fired up. But the 10 were negative. They came back to the congregation, they came back to the community, and they poisoned the whole rest of the crowd. They wanted to kill him, they wanted to stone him. And so we broke into small groups. And you know what we talked about? Let's talk about if there's anything negative in our heart, and we're going to talk about it. So we split into three groups, really good. We just talked about it. People are open. The brothers are open. I really commend the brothers who are open and getting the help. Getting the Satan out of our heart. Our sinful nature. We all have a sinful nature. Do we agree that? And if we don't talk about it, we are deceived. We are deceived. I really appreciate Anthony, his heart wanting to be open. You know, it's from a Christian background, but didn't know a lot of truth, but we just got level open. Is that right? Is that wrong? Or what do you think about this? And what about that? And he wants to make sure he's walking in the light. Brothers, sisters, and friends, we got to make sure that we're walking in the light. We don't want to walk away. We don't want to fall away. We don't want Satan to live in our hearts. And so, it's no longer this fuzzy feeling is intentionally loving the Lord. The next picture is talking about agape. It's talking about agape. And I just want to quickly share about my life, and then Steve's going to come share his. You know, agape love is Christ loving. It's loving another person through Christ's love. And when I was reached out to the shepherds and back 30 plus years ago, I was just so blown away by how much he reached out to me. He followed up and he picked me up for church and treated me. And I was just I just couldn't believe it. You know, he's giving me Time magazine about stuff happened around the world, and he wanted to educate, and he wanted to teach the Bible, and he would initiate, and there was no texting, no phone, no internet back in the day. It was just landline. And so if I'm not available, then he has a hard time to get a hold of me, okay? And he knew I was working, so he'd stop by, hey, what's up? I tried to call your landline, and you went out there. Yeah, I wasn't at home. And he was just super positive. And I was wondering, all that time, that 4 months I knew him, why was he so positive? Is he faking it? Is it like artificial? Is he smiling all the time? What's going on? And I met his family. I met the shepherd. I met his wife, Sandy. The next slide. And, not this one. Super couple. And it's just crazy to see how much they love me so deeply. You know, they would call me to the Thanksgiving dinner, and my first time I go to an American's home, and I felt special in my third year in my college time. And I started wondering why. Why did they do that? They want money from me. No, I don't have any money. I don't have any money. In fact, I lost my job too. It wasn't about the money. Why was it different? We had a different skin color. He's white and I'm brown. What's up with that? I question. I'm skeptical and critical and thinking. My only conclusion was Christ's love. And once I saw that, I became all in. That was Christ's love. I said, you know what? God loves me so much. Why can't I love other people? Why can't I? I go to church every week, but I don't love anybody. I'm just loving myself. And that year is when I made the decision. I want to imitate Him and His love and God's love. I had a short time, only 1 year. After a year, God took him for a mission field in Boston. And then he went to the Philippines and preached the word. But I had a short time to learn from him, and I had to learn from other people. I got a little bit discouraged and depressed because he was gone, my first disciple or my mentor. He was gone. I'm like, no! You know, God was teaching me because I became a little bit too attached to him. You become dependent on a person for your joy, for your sustenance. You become a little bit codependent. God was teaching me I need God more than him. Or her, or anybody else in this world. He took me through the fire. And I think too often God's teaching you to take you through the fire, but we become negative sometimes. Where is God in the picture? Why doesn't He answer me? Where's my blessing? Agape love is unconditional. Grand Rapids Church, friends and family. Month of October, we're going to practice agape love, be agape disciples. I want us to open our homes, open our heart, our mind, open the fridge, take food out, share with strangers, with your neighbors, people at your workplace, in your college, in your dorms. It's so good to go to Moses' dorm and inviting all the people, and we had a great Bible study, the prayer place, and just opening it up, all up, opening the Bible, opening your heart, just open. It was great to hear what Brett was talking about. Somebody loved him unconditionally, and paying it forward. At this time, I'm going to have Steve come and share his story at this time.
Well, good morning. My name is Steve Mask.
All right. Here, I'll just hold it. I want to start off with a scripture. In John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Before I get into my background and my history and how I met God and how he impacted me, it was this scripture that changed my life forever. Once I knew and saw that God had what Uman's talking about, this agape love for me, that he called me friend, I no longer saw him as the creator of the universe or the one with all knowledge or the one who I couldn't reach or even attain maybe that kind of level of goodness. But I saw someone who was humble, that he wanted to call me friend, and it totally changed me. He's given me the life I have today. He's given me the wife I have today with Wendy Mask, Caleb and Joshua up there, and Cooper, who's back in Kids Kingdom. Truly a blessing in my life. And he's given me all of you. We've only been here for about a month now, but it's been a great joy. It's been great to meet everyone. It's been great to catch back up with Uman. Love Uman a ton. We get together quite often when we'd be in town. We'd go have coffee or that's pretty much it. We'd have coffee. But it was great. It was great. But my life started off as an adopted child in Los Angeles. And, you know, it was funny. Last night we had the middle school and the teens over at the Black's house, and they did a phenomenal job. Brett did a great job with the lesson. We had a ton of fun. Very hospitable. It was great. But what he started off with was having everyone write down a question and an answer to that question. And I thought, my question was, what if I wasn't adopted? What if I wasn't adopted? But I was, and I can see all the way back to then how God orchestrated the people in my life, from my adoptive parents, who then divorced 2 years later. Then my dad remarried when I was six to a woman who had three children. Her husband had passed away a year prior. And it was like we were brothers from the beginning. And so I was brought up in a great family, great mom and dad, who I call mom and dad. Some people don't know what to call them when you're talking to them about your story. They say, oh, is that your stepmom or your stepdad or your half-mom or half-dad? But they're truly my mom and dad. And my brothers are truly my brothers. And a lot of times, we'd answer the phone, and they couldn't tell which one of us it was. Even myself. So I don't know if I picked up sort of their accent or whatever it was. But it felt endearing to me because I felt even more part, even though I knew I wasn't naturally a part of them. So I was brought up in a church that was very traditional. And you've really felt sort of a loyalty and the grandeur of the building. But there wasn't really any life challenge. You just kind of did what you saw fit. Me and my brothers, when we were a little older and we could go to church on our own, we didn't really find church interesting. So to let our mother and father know that we went to church, we'd go grab a bulletin, go drive around for an hour, and come home and give them the bulletin. They're like, oh, great, how was it? Oh, it was good, Mom. You know, that's what she expected. You know, that's kind of answers you get when you're a teen. You get like yes, no, good, bad, or well, pretty short. So from there, after high school, I went into the military, and here I began to experience different churches and how they did things. Went to a non-denominational church for a while. They had a college group, that's why I went there. So got involved with them. It was very fuzzy feeling and warm, and I felt happy. Was also involved in the church that I grew up in and got involved in some of their other organizations like the Knights of Columbus. And so I was getting tied in to these different religious experiences. The interesting thing was in the church I was brought up in, they had a charismatic movement going on in California, which was really interesting when confirmation students were coming up to the altar and speaking in tongues as they were being taught on the spot and falling over. It was an experience. I'm glad I got to experience it. But then after I got out of the military, I came home and I saw a group there doing also this same thing with the charismatic movement. They seemed really off in left space. I don't know. It was just very odd. And I just stopped going to church. I felt like, you know, nobody's doing this. Even the college group that I was with, I started seeing the guys and the gals sleeping around with each other. And I'm like, this is not God's church. And so... from there, I went off to college, University of Illinois to study architecture. And as a senior, I got a gal pregnant. And it was a time that God used to teach me about the kind of love I needed to have. And what I saw was, although this gal or even my daughter were going to be over in England, because that's where they're from, I figured I need to be a dad regardless. Despite the distance that we were apart, I still needed to act like a dad and stop living the life that I was living. So I started praying, started opening my Bible the best I knew how. It wasn't great, but that was a start. I delivered pizzas in college, and one night I went up to an apartment, and these gals invited me out to church. I said, sure, yeah, I'm kind of actually looking for somewhere to go. I was going back to the church I used to go to, but it wasn't very exciting. It was kind of boring. The messages really weren't from the scripture they'd read from them, but the main message that the minister would give were sort of about what's going on today, like politics and current events, and just wasn't anything that's going to change my life, I didn't feel. So I started going to church, and I experienced people living out the Bible. I experienced agape love. I experienced that you didn't just go to church and not speak to anybody and then walk out, but they hung out, came early. They had lunch afterwards. And I saw this family, and I thought, wow, this is awesome. Then I was asked to study the Bible. And that's where I saw for the first time, like, wow, I'm starting to get this stuff. Why wasn't I taught this? Why wasn't this showed to me? This seems like a very important piece. Why was it never preached on a Sunday morning? Why was it all these other things that really had no impact in my life? And so it changed me a lot. And when we did a study called The Cross, then I was broken. I was like, what can I do? I need to do something here. This, you know, my life really hasn't been great. It hasn't been something that I would say, like, I deserved what God was going to give me, and that was, you know, forgiveness through the cross, and I got baptized. But you know, the story continues on. It does, right? The story continues on because our conversion doesn't end at baptism. We're continually being converted and changed and molded, and it really has been through the church. It's been through the people in my life, my discipling relationships. It's been through the times where maybe I was hurt by another disciple. I learned that, you know, we're not perfect people. I learned that I can't judge that brother, because if I do, I will be judged in the same way by God, and I don't want that to happen. So I've grown a lot in my heart, and I really appreciate Uman sharing this morning about agape love, because that's all that matters. It covers over a multitude of sins. It's what's going to sustain us. It's what's going to bring us true joy. It's what's going to really impact others, just like when we experienced agape love, it impacted us. We became disciples. Amen. All right, let's go to God in prayer before we take communion. Dear God, thank you so much for your scriptures. Scriptures that build our faith. For Jesus, who laid down his life so that we could be his friends. So he could show us a path like no other in a world that's broken. Thank you, God, for life. Thank you for the people that you put in our lives at just the right moment to teach us what we need to learn, to love us when we're feeling down, to help us when we don't know what to do next. Pray, Father, that this month, that the city of Grand Rapids can experience agape love like they've never experienced from us. I pray, Father, that you continue to spur in us a desire to know you even deeper, to not get complacent, to not get lazy, to not let the world consume us or distract us from the love that you have from us. We love you so much, God. I pray for the juice and the bread that represents your body and blood that you sacrifice for us, because you love us so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name.